The Echoes of Translation: Why Bible Book Titles Sound So Different. Have you ever noticed how some books in your Bible seem to have English-sounding titles, while others whisper of ancient Greek roots? It's a subtle detail, perhaps, but one that points to a fascinating journey through centuries of translation and cultural exchange. The Bible, a collection of sacred texts revered by billions, has been translated and retranslated more times than most of us can count. This process isn't just about swapping words. It's about bridging worlds, and nowhere is this more evident than in the very names we give to its constituent books. Let's start with a familiar example, the Book of Genesis. This title, derived from Greek genesis, meaning origin or creation, perfectly encapsulates the book's content, the very beginning of everything. It's a name that has echoed through religious and scholarly circles for millennia. But what about something like 1 Samuel or 2 Kings? These titles feel distinctly English, don't they? They tell us who the book is about, rather than what it signifies in a grand, cosmic sense. The story behind these differences is as old as the translation of Scripture itself. When the Hebrew Bible, what Christians often call the Old Testament, was translated into Greek between the 3rd and 2nd centuries BCE, a project known as the Septuagint, translators faced a crucial decision. Should they keep the original Hebrew names or create new, descriptive titles in Greek? For many books, they opted for the latter. Names like Isaiah from Hebrew Yeshayahu, meaning Yahweh is salvation, or Jeremiah Yirmiyahu, Yahweh exalts, were kept as they were personal names. However, for books like the Pentateuch, the first 5 books, they chose descriptive Greek titles: Genesis, beginning; Exodus, departure; Leviticus, relating to the Levites; Numbers, arithmetic; and Deuteronomy, second law. This Greek tradition became highly influential. When the Bible was later translated into Latin and subsequently into English, these Greek-influenced titles often carried over. Think of Revelation, a direct transliteration of the Greek apokalypsis, meaning unveiling or disclosure. It speaks of a hidden truth being revealed. But the English-speaking world has its own rich history of translation, particularly from the 14th century onwards, with figures like John Wycliffe and later William Tyndale. These translators, working in a different cultural and linguistic context, sometimes favored titles that were more straightforward, more indicative of the content's subject matter, or simply more natural sounding in English. This is where we see titles like 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, named after the prophet Samuel, who plays a significant role in their narrative. Similarly, 1 Kings and 2 Kings, or 1 Kings and 2 Kings in some older traditions, clearly denote their focus on the reigns of Israelite and Judean monarchs. This divergence isn't a sign of error or inconsistency. Rather, it's a testament to the dynamic nature of language and the evolving methods of conveying ancient texts. The translators of the Septuagint were scholars aiming to make the Hebrew scriptures accessible to a Hellenistic world, imbuing their titles with Greek philosophical and literary sensibilities. Later English translators, often working under different pressures, sometimes for devotional use, sometimes for academic rigor, adapted these traditions to suit their own audiences. Consider the books of the Minor Prophets. While the Septuagint might have had descriptive Greek titles, English translations commonly use the Hebrew names: Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. These are direct transliterations of the original Hebrew names of the prophets themselves. Yet, even within this group, the collective designation, Minor Prophets, is a later categorization, not an original title. The New Testament offers a similar blend. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all bear the names of their traditional authors, a practice that followed the Greek convention. But what about Acts? The Greek title is Praxeis Apostolon, meaning the Acts of the Apostles. The English title is a direct, slightly condensed translation. This duality in titling, the descriptive Greek influence versus the more direct, person-focused English approach, highlights the layered history of the Bible's transmission. It's a reminder that behind every book title lies a story of interpretation, cultural context, and the enduring human effort to understand and share the divine word across the ages. So, the next time you open your Bible, take a moment to appreciate not just the words within, but the very names of the books themselves. They are echoes of a translation history that spans continents and millennia, a quiet testament to the journey of faith and knowledge.